Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm excited to be continuing this series on the coming shift that will bring real revival to the church. I believe the shift is already taking place. I know it is. And it is a shift from an ego-centered approach to our faith, to worship, to the gospel. Shifting from that egocentric approach to a real, truly Christ-centered approach, where it's no longer about me, it's about Him. You know, the central letter of pride is I, P-R-I-D-E, pride. And of course, pride is centered in the I, the ego. And today I want to speak to you today how that pride is the stronghold of deception. And so how the church has been functioning in an I-centered approach where it's all about me has opened the church to all kinds of deception. This was made very real to me a number of years ago. I was speaking at a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma that advertised itself as a revival church. And I was invited to speak there on a Sunday morning, so I went, took a seat, took my place at a front seat, and at this time everyone was standing. It was the worship time, and the church, which I would seat, I think about 300 people, was packed. And man, it was a very active, festive time. People were jumping and shouting. People were running the aisles, waving banners. Some people had carved out their own swords that they were running and waving their swords, I guess a type of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But it was a very flamboyant and festive time during their worship service. And I'm sitting there on the front row, and I'm just trying to be quiet and listen to the Lord during all of this time. And as I'm standing there, just lifting my heart up in worship, I hear these words very clearly. The stronghold, I'd never heard this before, the stronghold of deception is pride. Wow. And I immediately knew that God wanted me to speak to this revival church that morning, how that one of the common downsides of revival throughout history is that revivalist preachers, churches who have experienced genuine revival, they get an inflated idea of their own importance because of God's blessings on their lives. They get an inflated concept. We must be something special. Look how God is working. Look what God is doing. Look how God is using me. I must be somebody special. We must be a really special church in the world today because look what God is doing. And instead of attributing it to God's mercy and grace, they attribute it to themselves as being something special. They get an inflated idea of their own importance, and it opens them to deceiving spirits, to deception. Wow. I use some illustrations from history. I told them about William Branham. William Branham was the leading minister in the healing revivals that started in the late 1940s and on up through the 1950s. And the story I shared, I had from firsthand sources from Frieda Lindsay. Frieda Lindsay and her husband Gordon Lindsay were the ones who brought the ministry of William Branham before the general public. Gordon Lindsay was Branham's business manager. He set up his meetings for them, for him. Gordon Lindsay would go into cities, and he was somewhat well known in the Pentecostal movement, and he would He would visit pastors and he would get them to agree together to support a large tent revival, that a tent that would seat thousands of people. And then at the appointed time, Branham would come. They would have morning and evening services. Gordon Lindsay would teach in the morning service. He would MC and introduce Branham in the evening services. And so Gordon Lindsay and Frieda Lindsay traveled with Branham for some time throughout America and even to foreign countries. And so anyway, Frieda Lindsay, before she passed away, she told me this story. She said there was one time, and God was using Branham in a mighty, powerful way. Tremendous healings taking place. Word of knowledges, very distinct words of knowledge, incredible, and resulting in healings and miracles. She said that one time Branham had to be away. Now, Branham, if you've read his story, he was a game warden. He had a heart for God, but he was a very simple person, very humble person. But apparently, the way God was using him, he started getting an inflated idea of his importance. And one time, when Gordon Lindsay had to be away, there was a brother Baxter who was a part of their whole team. He emceed the evening services and he introduced William Branham in the evening service. And Frieda Lindsay said that Baxter's introduction was filled with all kinds of glowing accolades, and he referred to Branham as a special end-time prophet of God. And when Gordon Lindsay came back, Branham said to him, "Brother Lindsay, I think I would like Brother Baxter to introduce me from now on." And this was the first time, according to Frieda Lindsay, that they noticed a danger in Branham. He loved the accolades. He loved being called a special end-time prophet of God. Well, Branham began to surround himself with individuals who fed his ego with ideas about being a special end-time prophet of God. Gordon Lindsay had experience, even though he was not an elderly man at the time, he had been born in Zion City, Illinois, and he knew firsthand about the downfall of Dowie, of John Alexander Dowie, whom God had used powerfully in a healing ministry, but who also got an inflated idea of his importance and experienced a downfall. And so Gordon Lindsay went to, and this is coming from Frieda Lindsay, who was there, who was a part of all of this, went to Branham and tried to caution him and warn him. But Branham would not listen to him, so the Lindsays parted ways with Branham at that time. Well, Branham went on to embrace bizarre teachings. He began to believe that he was the fulfillment of God's promise in Malachi 4:5, where God said, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And so, in essence, he believed that he was Elijah. And in the same way that John the Baptist ushered in the first coming of Christ and fulfilled that promise in Malachi, he would usher in the second coming of Christ, coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. He also began to teach things like the serpent seed, a doctrine that said that Eve's sin involves sexual relations with the serpent, and that the people descended from this sexual a coming together of Eve with the serpent, that the people descended from that were destined to hell. But those who would receive his teachings, Branham's teachings, were the seed of God and destined to become the bride of Christ. You know, in spite of his bizarre self-concept and these erroneous teachings, miracles continue to occur in his meetings. Why? Because God is merciful. God is gracious. Miracles are not a sign of accurate doctrine. That's why we must have our minds renewed in the Word of God. Well, there's so much more to this story, but I just want to say that this was one of the stories that I shared that morning to this revival church about, to make the point of that that pride, the stronghold of deception is pride. Pride is a stronghold of deception. At the end of the meeting, the atmosphere had completely changed. the festive atmosphere was gone. I don't remember just how I ended the service, but I do remember that there was a solemnness and a quietness that had settled over the meeting, and it was like people were almost afraid to move and to speak. And when the pastor dismissed the service, gave the benediction, their people left. It was almost like they were afraid to speak out loud. People were whispering. And there was such a change that I was a little bit concerned. I felt that I had delivered God's word, but I was a little bit concerned about the change that had come over the congregation. So I expressed that to the pastor. I said, I hope I didn't squelch the enthusiasm of your congregation today. And he said, oh no. He said, you were right on target. In fact, he said, I may be accused of bringing you in today to preach that message. Wow. And then he began to tell me how that there was people in his church, and this man had been in the ministry for 30 years or more. He was a well-seasoned, mature follower of Christ and leader and pastor. But he told me that there were people in his congregation who hadn't been saved more than a year, who had challenged his leadership, challenged decisions he had made. Why? Because they had genuinely experienced the power of God come upon them, God pour out his spirit upon them. And because of that, they got an inflated idea of their importance. Oh, my friends, if we do not shift from an egocentric concept in the church, our egocentrism will destroy any revival that God sends along. That is why we must have this shift from a self-centered, ego, I-centered approach to the Christian faith, to the gospel. And we must shift to a Christ-centered approach. And that's what the promise is about in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it promises a national spiritual awakening that will heal the land. But it begins with this principle we're talking about. If my people who are called by myself will humble themselves, get rid of the pride, get rid of the I-centered, ego-centered approach to your faith, humble yourselves before God and focus your attention on the awesome majesty and greatness of the one whom we serve. Let our focus, let us no longer be consumed with our acts of worship and our acts of faith, but let us be consumed with the object of our faith and the object of our worship. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I hope you'll go back and listen. If you haven't already listened, you might want to listen again to all of these episodes this week. They are so very important for the church at this time. And I am Eddie Hyatt. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You'll find a lot of resources there, a bookstore, articles. Over on the left side at the bottom, there's a link to a blog that I host and also to a YouTube channel. And if you'd like to send me an email, my email address is there on the homepage. I would love to hear from you. God bless you. I'll see you next time.